You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
April 24th, welcome back to Edgework, presented by Pinnacle. I'm Zach Phillips, joined here on the four-man panel for today by Rob Pizzola, Alex Moretto, and Matt Albert. Help us break down tonight's games, recap last night's games a little bit here as well. Before we can get into any of that and answer questions from the chat, just want to remind everybody that if you haven't already, make sure to head on over to Pinnacle Sportsbook. Pinnacle is the world's sharpest sportsbook and now available in Ontario. You can find out what professional bettors have known for decades. Pinnacle is where the best bettors play. You must be 19 plus in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Not available in the U.S. Make sure to head on over to Pinnacle as we go through the games here today. You will see Pinnacle has the best price in market on a lot of the games that we're going to be pulling up. So why not shop? Why not bet at Pinnacle? So head on over there. As for last night, 0-6 on the night for the Edgework team. It's not the direction we want to be heading here to start off playoffs. I think we went 1-2 on Monday, 0-6 yesterday, but You can't hang your head on the day before. You got to continue to move on and push through. That's what we'll do here today. Correct, Moretto?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, not in the business of throwing people under the bus, all right? Oh, but didn't want to track Winnipeg. You know, I said I was on Colorado. You threw to Matt first. This is what happens. Matt gets holy and throws in the Canucks after we do the recap, decides let's just bet the Canucks too. You know, I lost about 30 cents to CLV on that one after the Demko news. Not ideal. I think we deserved a lot better. And I was enjoying the Bob Vassie goaltender duel in the second period there. That Bob save was fantastic. I was like, oh, this is, you know what, it's fun because it's 2-2 already. We're going to get this over. I'm not worried about it. So some crazy saves here to end the second period is fine. Should have seen that coming. So that one hurt. And then losing the under 6.5 in that Avs game because Nichushkin's no-look spinorama behind the back empty netter from a tough angle with like 50 seconds left. Also not fun. That was honestly like sitting there on the couch last night. Like what else? Like losing those two totals was just, I don't even know how both of those ones lost to not even get at least a split. Arguably should have been 2-0 on those, but what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? It's like what we say every year in the playoffs. I think Rob and I are used to that here. It's like, oh well, we should have won that game, but we didn't. So you're kind of morphing into Leafs fandom here, Moretto. It's the same thing. Yeah. Same thing.
Tough. I hear 0-6. I figure, you know, somebody was sick and Albert did the show alone is basically all that comes to mind. I don't really expect that out of the Tuesday crew, but here we are Wednesday. And honestly, like we're in a tough spot now because I think a lot of the teams that we thought are going to win the series, at least in the latter two games tonight, are teams that we, I think, across the board pretty much liked in round one, and they've been juiced into oblivion for game two. So yep. It's... Not a good day to bet hockey for what pre-series positions we had.
Chat's in one right now here as well. But Albert, we haven't got to hear from you about the Rangers. You said you wanted to make this Rangers talk radio. We'll give you the floor. I'll be a nice guy here and let you talk whatever nonsense you want to about those New York Rangers.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're over here.
Artemi Panarin, like, who should be suspended for like 10 games, I think, by the way, for that.
Yeah, that wasn't that. I'm not going to defend it. That was bad. I was very surprised that got changed to no penalty, especially after seeing the replay from the side. Don't really know how. Not really going to complain. I'm just saying, I can't wait for, like, we were talking about this last night, like the second round when they played Carolina. Like, I want to win with like a 14% expected goal share. Like, give me all of the expected goal tiers. Give me all of that, right? Give me all.
Doesn't matter what the goal share is. You're not going to win. It could be 90%. Could be 10%. Canes are trucking the Rangers in round two.
All right. Well, give me all those cheers when the Rangers win in seven after being outscored like 29-12 in the series. I'm here for it.
All right.
What did you make of the game last night, Auber?
I mean, the Caps are just really bad is kind of what I make of that. Like, I don't even look at it and think the Rangers necessarily played that well over the first two games. The Caps are just so bad. And it's like, when you kind of looked at that series going in from the beginning, like there was a few spots where the Caps would have an edge against a lot of teams. Like in net, Lindgren had been really well or been playing really well. Igor is a lot better than Lindgren. The Caps power play had been good. The Rangers power play is better. And the Rangers are obviously very susceptible at 5-on-5, but the Caps are even worse. So it's like kind of any spot that you could really look at and say, okay, the Caps maybe have an edge here. The Rangers aren't very good here. Like the Caps just don't match up there. So I don't know how this series was kind of going to go very long to begin with. And it's just like, even without the Rangers playing very well, they're up 2-0 in two games that more or less they kind of controlled a lot of the way through.
All right. Well, as for last night, the other thing I wanted to bring up in the games I went on, the Florida Panthers obviously win that one in overtime against Tampa Bay Lightning. Moretto and I, miraculous calls there. Just incredible stuff. Carter Verhaeghe called that one to win it in overtime. But
in a private group chat. Yes.
You were both in it. You were both in it.
After making me change.
I mean, really the rules of the overtime game. The rules of the overtime game, which Albert doesn't know either, is Albert, that once somebody takes one player, you're not supposed to be able to take that player again. So either Zach or Alex can take credit. I don't know who was first, but you're not supposed to be able to piggyback Verhaeghe.
I'll give Zach this win because he posts. I wasn't gonna send. I have like a group chat with like a bunch of buddies where we do this thing all the time. Zach posted his OT picks, and I just thought it was hilarious because he sent them at like 9:26 or whatever, 10:26, whatever it was. And then I screenshotted my picks that I sent a few minutes earlier to my group chat, which were the exact same picks that Zach made. So great minds. Too bad we couldn't count that as a win on the show, but. What are you gonna do, you know?
And you know, no one ever explained the rules to me. And once I saw Moretto do it, I just took his example and said, you know what? It's fair game. And went at it. So that's that.
I'm gonna call bullshit on that one.
was the Bobrovsky save, Rob, like one of the greatest saves that you've ever seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs? That thing was insane.
Oh, without a doubt, man. Like I still couldn't believe it when I was watching. You know, there's sometimes in sports, there's like this thing that happens where a play happens and you're like, you're just in awe. You kind of just you can't even process what you've just watched. And that's how I felt on that save. Now, that's happened to me before. Like there's some recency bias here, but like that's just absurd. Like he's not even facing the play. It's just like, I mean, that's nuts. That's just a pure athletic move from a goaltender who's caught way out of position, but ends up getting back there, and anyone can like blame the shooter and be like, oh, why did he put it on the ice? Why did he put it a little bit higher? Whatever. We hear that thing a million times, but he's just reacting quickly. It's an open net. He's trying to put it in the open net, and Bobrovsky made an amazing save. So for me, I know some people were saying the Aiden Hill save in the playoffs last year was maybe better, whatever. Like they're both like A tier, like S tier, incredible saves. But to me, the Bobrovsky one is the best I've seen in a long, long time. And my God, that guy, like in the playoffs, because remember last year, he sucked in the regular season, right? Like that was the big thing. It's like, can the Panthers win with Bobrovsky? And in the playoffs, boom, flip the switch. This year so far in the playoffs as well. I mean, Florida's been better than Tampa, but he's had to make some pretty incredible saves, including that one. That stands out to me as the best I've seen in a very long time.
One final thing from last night, and I guess it's a bigger picture type of thing. Marado, yesterday we see the news, Thatcher Demko out for last night's game and possibly for the remainder of the series. You were the person who flipped. You flipped from the Marauders to the Canucks. Is there anything about this news, anything about what you saw last night that's maybe bringing you back to the honky tonk?
Honestly, no. And I think I'm going to get involved still in some Canucks series prices today. I think they'll be fine. Like everything you've seen from these first two games, this isn't a series necessarily where they will need Demko to be great. That's not where they'll have to rely on him. I think it's going to be in the next round, potentially round after that. Although this is concerning, the fact that he's not healthy right now enough to play. I'm not sure you can just snap your fingers and, you know, expect him to be back at full health next round. This is like multiple times that he's injured that same knee now. I definitely have a lot more concern over the long-term prospects of this Canucks team than I did, you know, maybe a day ago. But I also think my Canucks in five might be dead that I said on the show yesterday. I'm pretty sure I killed Demko. So sorry to So Money and to Matt Russell for that one. But I'm not worried about the Canucks in this series. I still think ultimately everything we've seen from them, like they'll be fine.
Yeah. I thought yesterday was a massive, massive overreaction to the news. I think we saw it move about like 30, 35 cents there throughout the course of the day at some point there. I'm pretty sure everyone from Edgework decided they were going to become Canucks for last night's game. So that was an unfortunate result, but yeah. As far as it goes for the goaltending there, I cannot believe that that is the case, that we're seeing that this guy is injured. I don't know about you guys, but does it not feel like goalies are just going down at a much quicker and easier pace in today's game? Like maybe they're just being too cautious with these guys. Like what is happening that everyone just goes down and they're out for extended periods of time right now? Where is the old time hockey, a fight through it? It's the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, like if you think back to the last, I don't know, decade or so, I could think off the top of my head of several instances where the Stanley Cup winning team had to use both goalies for a prolonged period of time. Like it happened last year. The Penguins, when they won the cup, had to use Murray and Fleury that year. I'm definitely missing one that should stand out to me. Right? The Caps in 2018, Grubauer started and they went to Holtby. Like it happens pretty regularly. I don't know what it is about playoffs, but obviously the Avalanche or another one.
Yeah,
the intensity is higher. Like, I don't know how that impacts goalies. I've never played the position myself, but you see more injuries to players. It would just make more sense that goalies are get a little bit more injured on top of that. The schedule's a little bit more condensed. And like guys are going to the net a lot more than they are in the regular season as well. So I don't know what it is specifically, but goaltending depth is important. And we've seen it in past years because backups very often get in. Canucks aren't done. I mean, the Canucks played, I mean, DeSmith, whatever. I mean, let in some goals yesterday. Canucks played fine. I mean, for the majority of the game, they were all over the Preds. And Nashville doesn't generate a ton of offense anyways. Like, power play, some stuff from the of all the teams in the NHL, you look up and down the lineup, I'm not suggesting they're not well-balanced because they are. I think they're greater than the sum of their parts, but they don't have like elite goal-scoring talent. The Canucks will be right in it, I think, for the rest of this series. They're the better team, and they just got to hope they can get a save or two out of DeSmith, but that's the nature of hockey.
There you go. Sad money sports. Well, so money.
We call them no money. No money last week.
No money. No, yeah. What's worse, sad money?
No, no, no.
No money.
You can't make your own nickname. It's like Costanza in Seinfeld, where he wants to be called T-Bone, and they call him Coco the Monkey. You can't make your own nickname. So money. It's no money, not sad money. No money.
Okay.
Going forward.
No money. All right. If you haven't hit the like button already, please hit that like button. Less than a third of the people watching right now have liked today's stream. That's just not enough. Hit the like button, get it up there. This is Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Free content we're doing here. Go live, break down the games, recap the nights before, give out picks, give out insight as to why we're looking at some of these games the way that we are. And tonight we got three games ahead of us that we'll be breaking down here, and we'll get into that right now. So let's start with this Leafs-Bruins game, where we are seeing the Leafs number moving on the screen in front of me here right now as we go. Leafs minus 107. You can find that price at Pinnacle, where you should be shopping. If you see above Rob's head there in the corner of the screen, the Pinnacle logo, that's where you should be heading to. Rob, you can find that one. Yeah, there you go. Minus 107 on the Leafs. We see the Bruins plus 102 on some books, but you're also finding some, you know, minus 105, minus 103, somewhere in that range as well, depending on what books you've got available to you. A lot of that obviously would come with the William Nylander news. It looks like he's going to be good to go, joining Cali Yarncroke and Pontus Holmberg on line rushes this morning. Rob, start with you. Thoughts on this Leafs game, the possible return of William Nylander, and where we're at with the price right now.
Okay, so price is everything when you're betting on hockey, especially playoff hockey, right? So I'm wearing the Leafs cap. I'm a Leafs fan, for those that don't know. This is not, in my opinion, the time to bet the Leafs, because you got two things that are going to be affecting the price of this game. One, Nylander back, and two, that they played such a good game in game two. And typically speaking, when that happens, the market tends to overmove. You will get Boston's best effort. I mean, it's the playoffs, and people say that and throw that around sparingly, but the back and forth in a series is real. Like, it happens pretty regularly, and people just forget about that. They're like, oh, this team played amazing last game, and they're going to just play amazing next game. It doesn't work like that. Teams tend to react. You know, the Boston will go back. This is what the Leafs did. This is how we're going to counter it. Leafs are going to do a lot of the same because it worked for them. So I'm not a big fan of betting Toronto tonight. That's not to say that they can't win. I don't want to bet Boston, but just that's the way I approach these games. And when I eventually run the number with the Nylander update here, assuming that he's going to play, you know, I'll probably arrive right around where this price is going to settle at. It's just that we're coming off what was a very, very dominating road performance for the Leafs. They played a very, like, a game that I didn't think that they were capable of playing, if I'm being quite honest. I don't think this is the right spot to back them here, personally. So I think the price in this game is fair. I'm going to sweat it as a fan. I tried to look for a prop, but there's, like, no chance I'm giving out a Boston goal scorer prop. That ain't going to happen. I only like to give out what I'm actually betting myself. I'm not going to be cheering for that. So that's where I stand on this one.
Well, Rob's talking about this isn't the spot to back the Leafs. If you're a guy like Alex Moretto, then there's never a good time to back the Leafs. So I'm interested to hear what your opinion is on this game, where the price is right now, Moretto.
Yeah, I'll emotionally hedge this at any price. But no, I do agree with basically everything Rob said. I think something else that, you know, he mentioned the fact that, like, the series effects, and you're going to get a better effort now from Boston after a bad game in game two. I think something that maybe is, I want to do a little bit more digging into this. I've done a decent amount of digging into it, and there's definitely, like, something to be said for teams simplifying their games on the road and playing better hockey. We saw the Leafs play two very good road games. Honestly, the first game, okay, obviously things definitely didn't break their way, and they had some bad moments in there that made it look a lot worse than it was, but they rebounded in game two and played a very, very good road game. They got, you know, back to the basics, you know, chipping pucks out, flipping pucks through into the neutral zone to, you know, neutralize the forecheck of the Bruins, and they did some things very well to just simplify everything. And now you're coming back home, you kind of feed off that energy of the fans, and it's so easy to get kind of pulled out of your game a little bit more. You're trying to put on a show, you're trying to, you know, you're playing different hockey, whereas the Bruins now in this more hostile atmosphere are going to try and settle things down a little bit. You're going to see them play a much smarter game. We saw that last year from the Bruins against Florida, where they played two of their worst games in the series in those first two games at home, and they had the split against the Panthers in the at home. You know, they lost game two with a pretty miserable expected goal share. Even game one, they won it with a pretty bad expected goal share, very similar to what we saw in these first two games against the Leafs. And they bounced back in Florida and got back to Bruins hockey and played two of their best games of the series and took a 3-1 series lead in Florida. So I do expect, I'm not saying they're going to go and take a 3-1 series lead here and win these next two games on the road, but I do think we're going to see a much better effort than we saw from them in those first two games. We're going to see a much more simple sort of game from the Bruins, a game that works in their favor to just sort of rely on what they do best and get that forecheck going, get the offense going a little bit, let Swayman do his thing in net. So I do think we're going to see a bit of a different effort here. And I do think because of that, I'm not interested in backing the Leafs at this price.
Okay, well, I don't know if this helps at all. I obviously have notifications turned on, Rob. I'm sure you're seeing some of the stuff too, but Nylander is now staying out for extra work with projected scratches after this one, and as per people from a certain written site, status for game three still uncertain. So
the Leafs are going to do everything they can to muddy this.
This is going to be the biggest gong show ever. Yeah.
There are certain teams that in the playoffs, like the games are just absolutely brutal to bet because they're really tight lipped. It's not just like the Nylander example, but sometimes, and this has happened in years past, I don't think we've seen it yet this year, where it's just pregame warm up and it's like, well, these two players didn't take the ice and nobody had any idea that there was even an injury for those players. Yep. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of one of the risks you take here. I have no idea what's going to happen here. Obviously, Nylander values to the number. Like, he matters to the number of the game. So without knowing that information, it's very hard to price and take a stance one way or the other. It's just a tough game all around. I'm an optimistic Leafs fan tonight, hoping the Leafs get the win. I don't think I would bet them at this price. I do think that just, like, the dog is almost always appealing in these games between these two. But again, like, Nylander status, it just makes this game, I don't want to say unbettable. You do what you want with your own money. You take risks. Everyone has some sort of threshold in which they're going to take risks. For me, it's this ain't it.
Albert, any final thoughts on this game and the price right now?
Yeah, I think it's pretty well summed up. Like, I think this is kind of right around a coin flip. It was kind of one of those, if the price kind of went on either side and you're getting like a plus 110 or something, all right, maybe then it makes you a little interested. I tend to think that the Leafs maybe get this one, but again, like, the back and forth series thing is a real thing. I don't even know how many times we kind of see it at this point. But no, I'm not on either side here.
They kind of say, you got to remember, Zach, too. Like, if we're modeling these games and we know Joey Pucks has a position on the Leafs, you probably got to move the line 20 cents the other way as well. So that's also now working against Toronto. I've known Joey Pucks for a long time now, and there's a reason he has to bet other people's plays and not his own, because he's not very good at betting his own stuff. So this is going to be a real challenge.
Just to address Autopal in the chat there, Matthew, I believe it was an optional skate. It's just maintenance. He's just not playing. He's just not practicing because they don't need him out there right now. I wouldn't look into that too much. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. He'll definitely be out there tonight.
The other indicator would be that Robertson was skating on that line as a placeholder.
Yeah.
Or as opposed to that would indicate, like, he's a placeholder. Yeah. Sorry.
For sure. And I also wouldn't, like, there's going to be a lot of tweets that come out in the next little bit. Little comments are going to try and read between the lines based on this Nylander stuff. The Leafs are going to do whatever they can to make it as unknown as possible. If he's going to play, they will keep him out with scratches. Does not mean he's not playing. I know he was out with scratches in before game two and didn't play. They can be doing the same thing just to be playing games right now with Boston and trying to throw them off the scent. I wouldn't put, like, you can not, you know, unless you have a source directly in the building or like that source is basically very, very, very close to this team. I don't think you can take anything that comes out of this seriously, and you won't know for sure until about 30 minutes before the game.
Yeah. If you get any messages from Lay It With Luke, just flush them. They mean absolutely nothing is irrelevant.
Haven't blocked that guy's number yet, I don't know what to tell you. There's no reason you should still be getting messages from him. He should be on mute permanently.
Two more games to take a look at here as well. Again, I've got to ask, if you haven't already, please hit that like button here on today's stream. We appreciate all the support, but there's just not enough likes for the amount of people watching right now. Hit the like button. Let's get those numbers up here on this morning show. Let's go to the Dallas-Vegas game. Moretto, you told us yesterday that you would be looking at getting invested in the Dallas Stars, maybe some series prices based on what we had seen out of game one and kind of the result that went the opposite way for us there, based on the fact that we were all so invested, so interested in the Dallas Stars ahead of the series. We're seeing Dallas minus 155, best price available on them. We see plus 143 on the other side on the Golden Knights. What's your thoughts on this game here tonight? Are you going to be tripling, quadrupling, quintupling down here on the Stars as we go game by game as well?
I've got enough riding on the Stars right now. I did get in on the series price after game one. I'm not necessarily dying to bet them at, you know, minus 160-ish or whatever they're at right now. I don't think I have any interest in doing that. I need a win from the Stars tonight, just like, even just emotionally, just mentally, man, not even financially right now. Like, I just need a Stars win. I can't do this Vegas shit anymore. I can't watch the Stars lose another game that they should win to the Knights. So I need this bad. I kind of like, as the over takes a bit of money here, I'm getting more interested in the under. I do think that, I mean, I don't know if we'll get plus money six at one point, but if we do, I think I'll be quick to bet it. We didn't see a lot of offense in game one. I do, maybe I'm crazy, but I do expect Ottinger to bounce back a little bit. There's no way he can be as bad as he was in that game one. He is a much better goalie. He has shown a very good ability to bounce back from bad performances throughout the course of his career. He has been very good in the playoffs throughout the course of his career. I'm willing to believe that game one was an anomaly unless I'm proven otherwise down the road. Vegas struggled to get anything going, and I think Dallas is going to continue to just try and play that suffocating sort of game. And Vegas, that's how they want to play too, especially on the road in the playoffs. Like, they're going to want to play tight defensive hockey and, you know, shelter Thompson in net and just bide their time and wait for their opportunities to kind of hit back on a sort of counter, so to speak, or on the power play. They're not going to want to get into a back and forth game with a Stars team that can score goals in bunches. So I do lean under here, and I feel like I might get there at one point now with the over sort of continuing to take a little bit of money.
Albert, any interest from you for this game?
No, and honestly, like, I don't know how you'd lay Dallas here minus 155 or whatever you said it was. Like, game one was like 20 cents cheaper. I mean, this is kind of clearly the game two must win, quote unquote, kind of pricing in here, right? I did get on some Stars series after game one. But man, like, I'm just so tired of losing money on Dallas against Vegas. Like, I've had enough of it. I don't even want to know as a group how much it's been over the last year plus at this point. No, I think you summed it up really well, though. Like, I don't know if Ottinger can be a whole lot worse, but it kind of is similar to me to, like, what I touched on with Vasilevsky on our preview of that series. Is, like, I think everyone's kind of expecting that Ottinger is just kind of going to flip a switch after a pretty mediocre regular season. Doesn't always happen that way, right? And I think kind of as this series plays out over the next couple of games, you're kind of going to get an idea of, like, is he going to be able to turn it back on, or is he just kind of going to be doing this where he kind of hovers around average? And if he hovers around average, like, I don't think they're going to get by Vegas. Obviously, I do think the Stars win tonight, but I'm not getting involved in this price, no way.
All right. And Rob, are you going to get involved in this one at all?
I'm kind of in the same boat as these guys. So I have Stars from prior to the series. I mean, that's a rooting interest for me right now. And I'm not, like, especially in the NHL playoffs with the amount of variance, I'm not going to double down, especially when I'm just be essentially taking a worse price on Dallas to win this game than I have on the series price altogether. There is, like, a series effect where Dallas's price should be boosted tonight because of the 0-1 down at home, better team. So there's that. They did play a good first game. It was like the Jake Ottinger make a save challenge, and he couldn't make a save in like the first 10 shots. It was like incredible to watch. But I mean, I've kind of been concerned about Ottinger all year. Like, he does have the pedigree, but he's had spells this season where he hasn't been good. I mean, if I took a step back and I did not have a Stars series price to root for here, I would probably be considering Vegas tonight. I'll just, like, call it out. For, I mean, they've played four games against each other this year. Forget about what the actual scores were, and everyone will point to, like, Vegas dominate Dallas. The expected goals in those four games are Vegas 10.9, Dallas 10.9. Like, it's been pretty even. Vegas has been missing some players over the course of those games as well. It's a tough match. Like, these are two pretty evenly matched teams. But I do think that Dallas, with the series of, like, the fact that they played a good game one, they kind of, you know, they gave up the early power play goal to Mark Stone, and that kind of just set the wheels in motion. It kind of reminds me of the Leafs in game one as well. Not to bring it back to Toronto, but they play a very good first 2 minutes of the game. They're in Boston zone the entire time. They give up a 2-on-1 the other way. It's a goal and it's game over type of thing. Tough one. I think the price is a little bit too much. If you're a neutral, you have nothing on the series, you're probably going to consider Vegas. I don't see this closing higher than it is for Dallas right now. Let's put it that way. Like, I don't think we're going to be closing minus 170, minus 175 Dallas here. I could see this number coming down instead. So those are my thoughts on this one. I hate to, like, recommend something and not bet it myself. So I'm not going to be, I'm just going to be rooting for the Stars tonight.
Yep, that's fair enough. All right, there you go. Another game broken down. We have one more on the schedule here tonight, and that would be out in Edmonton as the Kings host the LA Kings. We see the Oilers host the LA Kings. Sorry, the Oilers -175, the Kings +165. There we see totals kind of ranging here, but we're see some 5.5s expensive there, -140s, -143s pushing out. So we're seeing sixes for the most part in the for totals right now. Albert, start with you here in this Oilers Kings game. What are your thoughts on where the price is currently sitting at? Any bets for you in this game?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I've been looking at, just because it's moved a lot, is the under. And I get why it's moved a lot. I was on it in game one. I don't know if I can stomach it again, frankly. I think we're getting some plus money six. Yeah, it looks like there's a couple, maybe one or two plus money sixes. I just don't know if I can stomach it, to be honest with you. I think the side is kind of in line about where it was for game one, too. I'm just trying to figure out if I can stomach an under here. I don't know if I can at this point.
Okay. Well, Rob, what are your thoughts on where this game's lined at right now, all the way across the board?
So a few points on that. I mean, we saw this with Colorado Winnipeg yesterday, right? Typically when you get one game that deviates so much from the actual, like the first total, like Edmonton game one, 7-4, high scoring, high flying. Obviously it's a team with a lot of talent, but usually it's not a rule of thumb, but the second time around, you know, the other side might have some value because people tend to overreact that one performance. The thing for me is I will not bet the under in the Oilers game until I know the referee assignments for the game in particular, because if you get a penalty happy referee, say goodnight to that under, because the Oilers are going to score on the power play. That's just like what they do. So I kind of have to look at that before making a call there. I do like a prop in this game. Maybe we'll get to Alex's thoughts first on the main market, and then I'll come back to the prop.
Yep, works for me. Moretto, thoughts on sides totals here in this game?
Yeah, I really want to be able to give out a total or a side in tonight, but like I agree on the under, but I don't want to bet it right now for a lot of what these two guys said. Like, theoretically speaking, just looking at this matchup and how the series is going to kind of play out, I mean, the Kings are not going to be able to compete with the Oilers in a back-and-forth series. It's just not going to happen. They know they have to really slow things down. Like, that's their only chance to win games, and they know how to do that. Like, this team can muck it up. This team can make life difficult on the Oilers. That's basically their only path to success in this series. So I do expect a much different approach here. They kind of got away from that by allowing the early goals and didn't really have a chance to stick with that approach. But again, like, the Oilers are fine playing this back and forth game, and I feel like they're going to do whatever they can to not let the Kings pull them into that. And an early goal will throw things off pretty quickly. And then all of a sudden, if you do get that early Oilers goal, we're kind of screwed. If the Kings score first, though, I mean, looking at maybe a live under or something like that could be decent. If the Oilers score first, though, then I think that could be in for some chaos again. But yeah, I do agree that I think the under is the right side, but I'm not necessarily dying to bet it right now just based on the fact that I think the Oilers are not going to let the Kings play the game that they want to play.
All right, Rob, you said you got a player prop for us here in this game.
It shouldn't come as a surprise. Anyone who watched the Oilers-Kings series preview, I talked about this as the best bet at the end. I'm going to stick to my word. I'm going to play it for the majority of the series. A lot of this was just focused on the way that the Kings will probably try to play the series. I mean, I don't think they can take McDavid and Draisaitl out of it no matter what they do, but that's going to be the emphasis, and it opens it up to other players, especially guys who get power play time to score. You obviously saw the Zach Hyman hat trick. For me, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the guy to target because of his price. You could get him at 3-1 in game one. There's still a 3-1 out there, +310. So this would be a small bet, but this goes back a long time now, right? Since the trade deadline, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins only had 2 goals in 20 games. So people will be like, oh, why the hell would you take a guy that only had 2 goals in 20 games? I thought he was extremely unlucky. I watched a lot of Oilers down the stretch. He found himself in very good positions, just couldn't buy a goal. He was basically shooting 3.5% since the trade deadline, and that's way, way below his career numbers. It's way below his season number. It's way below everything. Like, his worst shooting season as a pro was 7.5%, and he was shooting way below that. So I'm going to keep riding this. And like, whatever, I'm not going to pass post the victory from game one, but it's nice to cash in game one. We talked about it in the series preview, and I'm going to keep riding it here. I mean, I think that's a great, like 3-1 guy. That's going to be power play one. He's going to be playing with a superstar for one of the games itself. And he's probably not going to get that much focus. JH in the chat is absolutely correct. He's been missing the net a lot, but overall, good price. Team that scores a lot at home. Other guys in the lineup getting the focal points from opposing defense. So Ryan Nugent-Hopkins plus 310 to score a goal tonight.
All right, there you go. And how would you want to play this unit-wise here, Rob?
Usually with these, I like to play them to like win one unit. So we could go like roughly $30 on it, $35. And that would give us the one unit win. So let's go $30 on it and try to snap this losing streak with a 3-1. God, man.
Let's end the losing streak that we're on here as a show. And 0-6 night last night with a plus 310 here on Ryan Nugent Hopkins. We'll just chip away. That's all it's about. Chip away on the season. And that's the most we can do. But there you go. One pick for tonight's games. We did run through all of tonight's games. Talk a little bit about last night as well. We'll continue to look forward to all series prices as we continue to monitor everything changing and moving around with injury news and reacting to games as stuff goes and series continue to adjust. It'll be happening here on the show. Thank you to everyone who tuned in today. We appreciate the support. If you haven't already, hit the like button here on the stream. Just to recap today's picks, just the one, you just heard it, pick. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, anytime goal scorer. You can find that one plus 310. We're going to go to win one unit there. So $33 to win one unit. That is today's best bet. Hit that like button. Subscribe here to the channel. We appreciate everyone who tuned in. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time to continue to break down more games, picks, and previews. Thank you so much for watching. Enjoy the games tonight, and good luck on your bets.